You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Jill Eisenstadt's new novel, Swell, is a great beach read about a beach town, but that town, Rockaway, Queens, may not be as elite a swell town as the Hamptons, Nantucket, or the Cape. The time is early summer 2002, less than a year after the events of 9/11, and Sue Glassman decides to submit to a bargain offered by her father-in-law. She'll convert to Judaism, and he'll buy her family a house in Rockaway so that they can leave the chaos of Lower Manhattan behind. But he doesn't mention that he's planning to move in with them, that the house was the scene of a murder, and that its 90-year-old former occupant still believes it rightly belongs to her. Swell is published by the Lee Boudreau imprint at Little Brown, and I'm very pleased it has brought Jill Eisenstadt back to our show. Welcome back.
Thank you for
having me. It's been a long time.
It sure has.
In fact, you were here for your novel From Rockaway?
Actually, I was here for my second novel, Kiss Out.
Ah. Well, From Rockaway was published three decades ago. It's being reissued?
It has been reissued, also by Little Brown.
Yeah. Are the books related by things other than their Rockaway settings?
Yes. I hadn't intended to write a sequel, and I wouldn't call it a sequel, but some of the characters appear 15 years later in Swell.
And is that because people tend to stay? People who grew up in Rockaway tend to stay?
Yes. I was writing about a retired firefighter, and I'd actually worked a few years on his voice when it occurred to me he was actually Timmy from Rockaway, who was a lifeguard who had grown up to become a firefighter, which is a very common trajectory.
So you were into the character before you realized that he was really a later version of a character you'd created many years ago?
Exactly. And at that point, I realized I would have to account for the other characters that were in his world. And surprisingly, I knew exactly where everyone would be. And it was a pleasure. And it made a lot of sense.
Some people have compared your Queens-born characters to the Brooklynites in Saturday Night Fever, people who sometimes feel they have nowhere to go. Do you agree?
Yes. Well, it's hard to get to Rockaway physically, and it's hard to get out sometimes psychologically.
Mm-hmm. Why is it hard to get out? I mean, other than the fact that the train ride takes forever. There is a ferry now, isn't there?
There's a ferry now, although there's apparently a lot of difficulties with the ferry. I just think, it's like a small town, even though it's part of New York City, and I think people feel there's something provincial about it, even though it's an urban setting. It's changing now.
Well, it has a sense of being separate because it's a peninsula. It's almost as though it's an island off of the city.
Yes, and it's amazing how it really took Hurricane Sandy for people to even notice there's an ocean off New York City aside from Coney Island.
From Rockaway, I read it way back when, but I'm tempted to reread it to see what these characters were like as youngsters and also see how the area has changed in the time between the two books.
It's changed a lot in some ways and not at all in other ways. Obviously, there's a big hipster element now, and surfing has become very popular with people that are not from Rockaway.
In the past, it was a place where people bought bungalows.
Yes, but there's not very many bungalows left. People have had to fight hard to preserve the few bungalows that are left. But it's still a place where the city has dumped its disenfranchised people for decades without really a lot of infrastructure for them. The one hospital there recently closed. So there's a lot of good stuff happening and a lot of energy, but there's still a lot that needs to be done, which I think the hurricane also brought to focus.
A lot of senior citizen homes.
A lot of senior citizen homes. A lot of SROs still.
But why hipsters? Why are they moving out there?
It's beautiful. And it's affordable, comparatively.
You've been called a voice of the outer boroughs. Have you written about any of them other than Queens?
Well, I've written quite a bit of nonfiction. I wrote a lot for the city section while it still existed of the Times. So I wrote somewhat about Brooklyn and not at all about Staten Island.
Or the Bronx.
I actually vowed to myself that I was not going to write any more outer borough fiction, which is one of the reasons I think it's taken me 26 years to write another book.
Well, do the Glassmans represent a kind of an early gentrification? I mean, can a place as far away from the center of things ever become gentrified?
That's a good question that I'm wondering now with all of the newcomers. I don't really, I think it's going to take a lot for any kind of real gentrification to happen. And it's a place which needs some gentrification, frankly.
It's a character in this book, the area itself, a very strong presence. Is it fair to say that its population is mostly working class first or second generation immigrants?
It's a very segregated strip of neighborhoods, so it gets richer as you move westward. There's also a lot of people who work in the financial district, which is one of the reasons between that and the huge population of city workers that there was such a big death toll on 9/11, which is one of the things that made me want to write about it.
So a lot of summer people who have places there.
There are, but there's a lot of full-time residents.
The major part of the novel takes place in 2002, about 9 months after 9/11. Was that one of your initial impulses to write about that time?
Yes. Well, the book started with a story I was asked to write for Queens Noir, the Queens Noir series, and I wrote about the Golden Venture, which you might remember was a boat of undocumented Chinese immigrants that ran aground off Rockaway in 93. And then when I decided to continue and write a novel, I started thinking about all the other tragedies that had befallen such a tiny peninsula, particularly around 9/11. There was a plane crash. There was, like I said, the huge death toll. So I started to think of Rockaway as a haunted character, and that was one of the impulses for the book.
The first chapter, it takes place 9 years before the main events, introduces one of my favorite characters, Rose, and that's where the Golden Venture story comes in?
Yes.
She takes some of the people in.
Well,
I don't want to give away too much, but that's
okay.
Near the beginning of the book.
Well, at the time, actually, my parents were living there, and they told me that night the police came around looking for people who may have been hiding in bushes and garages and shower houses and things. So when I was asked to write the story, I immediately thought of, well, what if an old woman found somebody hiding in her shower house? What would happen? So that was the initial impulse for the book.
My guest is Jill Eisenstadt, whose latest book is Swell. Do you think that many of the political issues we're dealing with now, attitudes regarding refugees and immigrants, began around that time?
That's a good question. Yes, possibly. I mean, Clinton, I don't think those people were treated fairly. You know, they were jailed and kept incarcerated for quite a while.
At one point in the novel, one of your characters talks about the shooting of seagulls at JFK and says, next they'll be lining up Muslims. Did many of the political issues that we're dealing with now have their origins in that period? It sounds like you're thinking that.
I wasn't really thinking that directly. I was more thinking our preoccupation with safety and trying to find ways to feel safe was, you know, definitely spiked after 9/11.
Well, I mentioned that many of the people are second or third generation immigrants, but they're wary of outsiders.
Yes, I mean,
is that part of the assimilation process?
I think it's a very, like I said, it's a very segregated area, really. There's, you know,
is it
Far
insulated?
Rockaway is very Black and Puerto Rican. There's some Orthodox Jews. Then Bell Harbor has mostly white Irish. Then New Ponset has some Jews, but there's not a lot of... And in high school, everyone was jammed together in the public high school, which was sometimes violent.
Sounds more like parts of Staten Island than the rest of the city.
Yes, I would say that is a good comparison.
The book is full of humor, and some of it is in the form of jokes. What's the knock-knock joke one character tells about 9/11?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
9/11.
9/11 who?
You said you'd never forget.
There's also a washed-up whale. Are there washed-up whales in Far Rockaway?
Oh, absolutely.
And there's a murder in the first chapter. It's kind of shocking and kind of gratifying at the same time. There's no doubt of who the perpetrator is. have you based Rose on anyone specific?
No. People I've seen from afar, and also just imagining myself aging. In the beginning of the book, she's 85, I think, and then later she's 9 years older.
Well, much older than you are.
Yeah, so I imagined what it would be like to feel that someone wanted to take my beach house.
I mentioned Sue, who caved into her in-laws' demands that she convert to Judaism. How Jewish are they?
The Glassmans?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not at all. That's what interested me, is the way, I've seen this in real life, the way even very secular Jews still care a lot if their children marry Jews or not. I'm not married to a Jew, so.
Well, why did they need to convert?
It was the character's dying wish that she convert, so the children would be Jewish.
We were talking earlier about identity politics in America, and that's kind of a theme in this book as well.
Thank you for noticing that.
Well, identity, to some degree, defines, a sense of identity defines who we see ourselves as.
Yeah, there's a character, Bibi. She's the aide of the old woman, and she is mistaken for West Indian when she's Guyanese, and she has a long soliloquy where she is talking about being stopped at the tolls and... being a real patriot. And it's based on someone I know, actually, who's from Bangladesh and has been to every American, American history site. He's been to Gettysburg numerous times, and yet, he's stopped at tolls constantly because of his name. And, I've never been to Gettysburg, which is, I'm embarrassed to admit.
Well, that's why you write fiction sometimes.
Yeah.
You can go to Gettysburg in your mind.
I plan on going.
Meanwhile, I guess we should be grateful that Tim, the former lifeguard, former fireman who's now sober, inspired you to revisit some of the characters from the previous book. Was it fun to write?
It was very fun. I don't know why I waited so long.
Do you visit Rockaway now at all?
Yes, my father still lives there.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you grew up?
And that's where I grew up.
And we can revisit it with Jill Eisenstadt's latest novel called Swell. It is published by Little Brown. Welcome back to writing fiction. Are you going to write more fiction?
I plan on it, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's very different than writing nonfiction.
It's harder.
Norman Mailer used to say that writing nonfiction was like cross-country skiing, and writing fiction was like climbing a mountain.
I could see that. It's good not to have to be beholden to the facts.
Thank you again.
Thank you.